Turn in your Bible quickly to the book of Joshua, please. Joshua chapter number 2. And in a moment, we'll read another verse out of Joshua chapter number 6. And man, it's been great to be here the last couple of nights. And I love Gateway Baptist. I love your pastor. And I love Ray K. Stewart. I miss him so bad. And I got to thinking at all the old timers that used to come to the meeting every year. Brother Wade Huntley's gone. Brother Stewart's gone. Brother Alvin Fleming's gone. I don't know if he's gone or not. I felt him a while ago. But anyway, a lot of old saints are gone. And a lot of more are going to be leaving. But I'm glad there's a lot more coming in their place. I'm glad old time religion's alive and well. And the only folks that don't like it are those who've never had a dose. Because if you ever get a good dose, it'll ruin you, buddy. Man, if you ever feel the fire of God, man, you can't walk off and leave something that's been a burning in your heart. God is good. And my hope is in the blood. If I wasn't so fat, praise God, I'd take me a lap. I can't. You'd have to come and get me, praise God. You know, Krispy Kremes are good, but they'll make you look like one if you don't give it up, praise God. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. If you're saved, raise your right hand. If you know it, raise your left hand. If you're glad about it, raise both of them. And turn to somebody and say, I'm saved. And turn back around and say, if you ain't, you can be. And turn back around and say, shame on you if you're not, praise God. The Lord is good. Joshua tonight, chapter number 2. We'll break in the reading. Down around verse number 12. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me, she says, a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Notice the response she got in verse number 18. Behold, I'm glad God breaks in on the scene. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou lettest down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. Now come to chapter number 6 and look in verse number 25. Now before I read that verse, let me say this. We know that the Old Testament name Joshua is the same New Testament name which means Savior of the people. I'm glad in the Old Testament God sent a Joshua. I'm glad in the new grace age God sent a heavenly Joshua named Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. And notice what it says tonight in verse number 25. And Joshua, say this with me, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive. Say that with me again. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive. And since that Old Testament name Joshua is the New Testament, Jesus. We can read it like this tonight. And Jesus saved. And if you've trusted in him, whatever your name is, you can put it in that verse. You know, Jesus wasn't a hyper-Calvinist, and I'm not either, praise God. And Joshua saved Rahab. And Jesus saved. I want to say Jesus saved Joe. And Jesus saved Tim. And Jesus saved John. And Jesus saved Lucy. And Jesus saved Linda. And Jesus saved David. Jesus saved whosoever that put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm feeling good about that. So Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive. And notice what it said in her father's household and all that she had. and she dwelleth in Israel even to this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out the land. And I'm interested tonight in that little phrase where it said, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot. Brother Brian's been preaching in the mornings on the women in the life of David. Back through Christmas time, I was preaching on the genealogy of the Lord Jesus. And I came down to the women that were mentioned in his genealogy. I saw in that passage, old Ruth. I saw in that passage, Bathsheba. And then I saw the passage, the Virgin Mary. But when I saw this name, Rahab the harlot, I thought, what in the world is somebody like her doing in a family like his? And then the Holy Ghost said, what is somebody like you doing in a family like mine? And all I can say is, I'm glad. Whoop. Through God's amazing grace, he can take a crooked stick and draw a straight line. I love it in the Old Testament when God illustrates New Testament truth. For instance, the New Testament plainly says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That is illustrated in the life of Rahab. The New Testament boldly proclaims, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That is vividly illustrated in this text tonight. The New Testament plainly tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And that is illustrated in this text tonight. The New Testament plainly declares that he died for whosoever, and he'll save whosoever from whatsoever. And that is illustrated in this text. A woman that was lost and undone on her way to the judgment finds herself in the royal family, and even has her name etched in the hall of fame of faith. And just when you think you've got a grip on that, God reminds us that we rejoice not that the spirits may be subject to us, but we rather rejoice because our name is written in heaven. And aren't you glad the God that brought Rahab in, and the God that brought Ruth in, and the God that brought Bathsheba in, is the same God through amazing grace has brought you and I into the royal family, the royal priesthood, the divine fellowship of the saints. And it may not make the newspaper or the radio or the TV or the internet when I got saved, but I'm glad it made news in heaven. And tonight my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm glad the devil can't white it out, because Jesus has done written it in. I'm glad to be saved by the amazing grace of God. And as I begin to look at this woman, how she is a picture of God's saving grace. First of all, tonight, when you think of Rahab, I want you to think of her condition. You know what Rahab was before the spies knocked on her door? She was a sinner by birth, by practice, and by destination. She is a sinner And she is known as Rahab, but not just Rahab, but Rahab the harlot. I would never be vulgar in mixed company, but I want to remind you tonight, they did not call her that because that was her nickname. They did not call her that because they didn't have anything to call her. They called her Rahab the harlot, because that's where sin had taken this young lady. She was a practicing sinner. She had given her life over to the lust of the flesh. When you thought about a harlot, you thought about Rahab. And when you thought about Rahab, you thought about a harlot. She does not deserve to live. She does not deserve to escape the coming judgment of God. She does not deserve to be in the royal family. She does not deserve to have her name etched in the genealogy. She does not deserve to have her name inscribed forever in the hall of fame of faith. But God did something that she did not deserve. He looked beyond her fault and he saw her need. She is a sinner by birth and she is a sinner by practice. But notice where she lives. She lives in the little village called Jericho. You say, what is that? It was a city that was under the judgment of God. The judgment had already been passed, and the nation of Israel is marching for the judgment of God. They have built these massive walls to protect them from the enemy, but there is no wall big enough to keep out the sovereign judgment and the wrath of Almighty God. They're going to tear down those big walls. They're going to burn that city to the ground. There's nothing going to be left but ashes of evil remembrance. And she is a sinner, and she lives among sinners, and she's about to die like a sinner and burn in the judgment of God. Now you say, Pastor, what has that got to do with us? Well, I don't want to make you feel bad about yourself, but every one of us outside of the grace of God, outside of the blood of Jesus, outside of the grace covenant, are sinners by birth and by nature and by choice. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible said there is none that doeth good nor seeketh after God. The Bible plainly tells us that in ourselves, every piece of righteousness that we can muster in our own strength in the sight of God, God is nothing but a filthy rag, and we live in a world that's already under the judgment of God. We live in a world where the sentence has already been passed, and the storm clouds are getting darker, and they're gathering over the horizon, and just any day now, a wave of judgment is going to hit this world. Somebody asked Brother Ed Maccabee, they said, Brother Maccabee, do you believe the earth began with the Big Bang? He said, nope, but it's going to end in one. And the fire of the wrath of God is coming. And I want to tell you, the Star Wars and the missile systems and all of our military might is no match to the sovereign indignation of a holy and a righteous God that said he's coming back one day in vengeance and in wrath and in judgment. So therefore, outside of grace, all of us are sinners by birth and by nature and by choice and by practice. And our destination is the judgment of God. And I'll be the first to admit, I don't deserve salvation. I don't deserve justification. I don't deserve sonship. I don't deserve for the Holy Ghost to live in me. I don't deserve my name to be written in the book of life. I don't deserve a mansion on the Golden Street Parade. I don't deserve heaven and glory land in Beulah Land. But praise God, I'm glad through grace He looked beyond my fault and saw my need and had mercy on me. And aren't you glad the God of the Bible is the Savior of sinners and the friend of sinners and the recipient of sinners? You know why we rejoice tonight? Because we know what it is to pass from death unto life, out of darkness into light. Aren't you glad tonight? Our Jesus, our God, He saves sinners. Her condition. Oh, but I want to hasten to number two. I want you to see her conviction. You know what it said in chapter number two? She's wrapped up and tied up in the sins of her lifestyle. And I love this. Oh, somebody knocks on her door. You say, Brother Arthur, I'm a hyper-Calvinist. I feel sorry for you. You may hyperventilate before you get out of here tonight. Somebody knocked on her door. Aren't you glad one day somebody knocked on your door? Brother Nelson, they knocked on her door and said, hey, where are the Jews? Where are the spies? I'm sure you've heard about the Semites and Moses and Joshua, and we've come to spy out the land. Well, the book of Joshua makes this statement. It tears my nerves up every time I read it. When she heard what they had to say, she looked at them and said, I've heard about you. And more than that, I've heard about your God. And more than that, I heard what He did to the Egyptians at the Red Sea. I heard what He done to Pharaoh's army. And she said, sir, when we heard what had happened and when we had heard about your God, she said, there was no more spirit in us. There was no more breath in us. There was no more strength in us. She said, our hearts melted with fear. We got afraid. And everybody in this land is living in fear because we heard about your God and what He has done, what He can do, and what He's about to do. Lord God, I wonder if there's anybody in this tabernacle tonight, you remember that day when you heard, you didn't hear about the choir, you didn't hear about the preacher, you didn't hear about the deacons, but you heard about God, you heard about the Lord, and you heard about Jesus. You heard that He was high and lifted up. You heard He was the epitome of holiness. You heard He was a sum total of righteousness. You heard He was a holy God and a great God and a mighty God, and He was coming in judgment and wrath. And do you remember what happened? When you heard, something stirred within you. You got scared. You got afraid. There was no more strength. It sounds like to me that Rahab got a good case of white knuckle holding on to the pew in front of you. Old time, Holy Ghost wrought conviction where the fear of God fell upon her. I'm glad for that evening when God spoke to me and I realized I was a sinner and I was lost and I was on my way to hell and I got scared and the fear of God came upon me. That's why some people you work with, that's why some people in your family wouldn't be caught dead in a church like this. Because something gets a hold of them. They get uncomfortable. They get fearful. Here you go. They get scared. Something's going to happen. They are faced with their sin in the light of a holy vengeance God that's on his way. Boy, I'm glad Jesus spoke to me one glorious day. Praise his holy name. Do you realize tonight we'd still be lost and undone with that God? But we heard and we feared God on a work in our life. And just let me say, if you're in this building tonight and there's an unholy feeling struggling in your breast and you don't want to die with that God and go to hell, the best news you ever heard, you don't have to. You don't have to. The God that saved Rahab is the God that I save you. I was preaching in Dallas, Texas not long ago. The man picked me up, the assistant pastor, and said, is there anything you need before church? And I said, well, in fact, the matter, I need a haircut. Now, I know that's funny when a bald-headed man needs a haircut, but you got to style what you got left. And he said, well, Brother Joe, my wife cuts my hair. I wasn't interested in that. He said, so the only place I know is by the church called the Mad Hacker. Now, look at me. Don't ever go get your hair cut at the Mad Hacker. Well, we went in, and there was three women in the Mad Hacker, and every one of them had that look on their face. We hate men. Boy, that one in the middle said, sit down right there. I said, yes, ma'am. Boy, she put that bat robe on me. Man, she brought out a pair of scissors about that long. Under God, a big old, I mean a knife, it looked like to me about that long. And man, here she come. And she's a whacking on my head. Well, I was sitting there minding my own business. And she got engaged in a conversation. Now, I don't know how much you know about the beauty shop, but it is not a miracle for them women while they're whacking on somebody's head to get engaged in a conversation. In fact, if you go into a city and you want to know all the smut, don't read the paper, don't look at the internet, go to the Mad Hacker, you'll get TMI. Well, we're sitting there and all of a sudden the subject of church comes up. And this lady whacking on my head said, oh my, you guys are not going to believe this. But the other day I went to this church, and you're not going to believe this, the preacher, he yelled at those people. You guys are not going to believe this. He sweated. He got red in the face. He spit on the front rows. And he preached about hell, fire, and damnation and judgment. And she said, you know what I did? She said, I took my fingers and I plugged them in my little girl's ear. I didn't want her to be traumatized by all of that. And she stepped back and popped that towel and said, hey, sir. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, do you go to church? I said, yes, ma'am. Does your preacher yell? I said, sometimes. She says, does your preacher sweat? I said, if he wants to get paid. She said, does your preacher spit on people? I said, sometimes. She said, does your preacher preach on hell and fire and judgment? I said, a lot. She said, who's your preacher? I looked up there at them scissors. I looked at her face. And boy, about that time, the Holy Ghost said, don't you pull a Simon Peter and deny me. I said, you're cutting his hair. She went, oh my God. I said, yeah, I preach about him too sometime. And then a case of Holy Ghost boldness hit me. And I said, and that ain't all, ma'am. I preach that way, and my daddy preached that way, and all my daddy's buddies preach that way. Then I got bold again. I said, ma'am, do you let your girl watch TV, listen to rock music, play on the internet unsupervised, and watch vampire movies? She said, well, sure. I said, well, I promise you this, that old-fashioned preacher that's concerned about her soul, down with that God going to hell, won't traumatize her any more than that mess you're letting her listen to. Can I get a witness? She said, I'm done with you. I said, me too. God bless you. Have a good day. But aren't you glad you got traumatized? Aren't you glad you got traumatized? You's a sinner on your way to hell about a half a heartbeat. But somebody said, hey, have you heard about this mighty God, this awesome God, this sovereign God, what he did at the Red Sea, what he did at Calvary, what he did at the empty tomb? I'm glad I heard. I'm glad I got afraid. I'm glad I got traumatized. I'm glad God brought me to the end of myself and I cried, oh Lord, have mercy upon me. She's afraid. She's weak. She's under conviction. And that brings me to number three. Notice her conversion. She leaned up and said, remember me. I know I'm a harlot. And I know I'm a sinner. And I know I'm going to die like one. But I don't want to. I know judgment is coming. But I don't want to die. You know what else? I don't want my loved ones to die. Will you save me? Will you help me? Will you show me how to get out of here? Boy, I met our modernist the other day. He said, you old-fashioned Baptist, you preach about hell and heaven and Jesus and all of that. You're just looking for an escape from reality. I said, well, let me give you some reality. One day this world's going to be on fire and I want an escape. And I've got one. And it's not the baptistry and it's not the church membership, but it's in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. She said, I don't want to die in this place. I don't want to burn in the fire. I wonder, you remember that evening when you said, oh God, I'm a sinner and I know I'm a sinner, but I don't want to die in the fire. I don't want to die in the fire. And I got news for you tonight. I'm not going to die in the fire. The only fire I'll ever feel is the fire of the Holy Ghost that's burning in my soul. I'm glad I've been saved from the fire. Can I run a rabbit if I hurry? Can I encourage you preachers to do something? Don't try to sound profound and wind up sounding dumb. If you're not careful, you'll try to sound intelligent and reveal your ignorance. Boy, I heard a man say the other day, Jesus didn't die to keep me out of hell. He died for my sins. Well, what in the name of God you think I'm going to hell for? Because of my sins. And he died for my sin. He died for my life. And he died to keep me out of hell. You say you just got him as an escape. Well, I'm glad there is a way of escape. Because death is coming and hell is moving. But I'm glad tonight I'll not go to hell. I'll not feel the fire. I'm saved from the fire. You know what they told that little girl? We got a deal, honey. We got us a deal. Because you believed and received, you're going to be saved. And she looked up at him and said, boys, I know the devil. I've been serving him a long time. And I know what he's going to do here in a minute. He's going to come by here and mess with my mind. And he's going to try to make me afraid. She said, can you give me a true token? You know what a token is? It's proof of purchase and rite of passage. Can I say that again? You know what a token is? It is proof of purchase and a rite of passage. Oh, can I just say that one more time? You know what a token is? It is proof of purchase and a rite of passage. Oh, watch that word token in the Bible. You remember when after the flood, God painted that rainbow in the sky and he said, Noah, That's proof of purchase. That's your token. And the next time the storm got up, his nerves didn't get tore up because he had proof of purchase. A rite of passage. Moses said, God told me to tell you to put that blood on the door because it is a token. Because the judgment is coming at midnight and you're going to need proof of purchase. You're going to need rite of passage. Lord God, I hear the babies are crying. I hear the oxen are lowing. I hear that old man Death as he marches down the streets of Egypt. And I can see some little boy say, Daddy, are we going to be all right? And Daddy said, Honey, everything's going to be all right because we got proof of purchase. We got rite of passage. That blood is our ticket out of here. Praise God. He said, let me give you a proof of purchase. Let me give you a rite of passage. He said, Honey, you take that scarlet thread and hide in the window. And I want to tell you what we're going to do when we march through this country. And when we get to your house that's got the rite of purchase, the proof of passage, you are going to be all right if you'll just get behind the line. You say, what's the difference in the line? Well, I'll tell you what the difference is in the line. On this side of the line, there's death and darkness. On this side of the line, there's light and life. On this side of the line, there's wrath and judgment. On this side of the line, it's deliverance and salvation. My God, on this side of the line, there's wheeling and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But on this side of the line, it's joy and peace and deliverance and forgiveness. On this side of the line, you're bound for hell. On this side of the line, you're bound for the promised land. I need some assurance. I need something to hold on to. When the lightning flashes, when the thunder rolls, when the foundations shake, I need something to hold on to. Lord God, I'm glad tonight, way down in the recesses of my heart, I got proof of purchase. I got rite of passage. I've got something to hold on to. And my hope is in the blood of the Lamb. And you say, what is the difference? Without the blood, there's damnation. In the blood, there's salvation. Without the blood, I'm going to hell. With the blood, I'm going to the promised land. I'm glad I've got my true token. Woo! And my proof of purchase. You know how they get the dye that makes scarlet? There's a little living creature that dies on a tree. And when that little living creature dies upon that tree and they smash him, he bleeds out the dye that makes scarlet. You know what them spies say, baby doll, if you don't want to die in this heathen world, hold on to something that's made possible. Because somebody died on a tree. If you want to miss the judgment, put your faith in something that's made possible because somebody died on the tree. I'm glad tonight I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to the first half, the middle half, or the last half of the tribulation. I'm saved forever, and I'm saved from judgment, and I'm saved from the fire. You know why? I got my faith and trust in a salvation that was purchased because the living creature, the Lord Jesus Christ, was wounded for my transgression. He died upon that cross. I'm glad to report to you on this Friday night, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and I'm glad I can say the blood has never lost its power. My hope is in the blood. Woo! And to show you that she got a good dose, when she got her token, when she got her assurance, she got a burden. She said, you know what? I got a daddy. And I don't want him to die down here. And I got a mama. And I don't want her to die down here. And I got some brothers. And I got some sisters. And I don't want them to die down here. Woo! And I love what he said. He said, honey, we're not Calvinists. Go get them all. Go get your mama. Go get your daddy. Go get your brother. Go get your sister. Honey, here's the deal of an eternity. You and everybody that you got, if you'll get behind the line, they may fall on every side and the judgment is going to come. But whosoever is behind the line is going to live this night. You know what I love about old Rahab the harlot? She couldn't stand the thoughts of her daddy died in the fire. She couldn't stand the thoughts of her little mama that gave her birth dying in the fire. She couldn't stand the thought of her brother or her sister dying in the fire. I'm glad, bless God, the salvation that's proclamated in this Bible is mama salvation, daddy salvation, brother salvation, sister salvation. Hey, can I remind you tonight, when you die, you can't take your car, you can't take your house, you can't take your money. The only thing you can take with you is a band of folks that you persuaded to get behind the line. I wonder if there's anybody in this room tonight. You're glad one day somebody got a burden for you and a desire for you, and you got behind the line. Woo! She said, I want my family to get into. And boy, I see her. She goes over there and I can see her say, Daddy, it's real. This stuff is real. Daddy, what you've heard about that mighty God, whoo, I met him while ago. And if you think what he done at the Red Sea or something, oh, I wish you could see what he just went and done in my heart. Now, Daddy, listen, it's real. And I love you, Daddy. Please, I want you to go with me. Come on, Daddy, get out of the fire and come on and go with me. I believe old Daddy gets up and says, I believe I'll go. Then she says, Mom, now listen, I appreciate all the good things you've done for me. Mama, what I just told Daddy is real. It's sure enough as real as it can be. And Mama, judgment is coming. But I've got a way for all of us to get out of the fire. Mama, will you and Daddy both come and go with me? Come on, I just want to get you behind the line. Hey, brother. I'm glad you're my brother. But brother, this thing's real. God is real. He's a coming one day. The thing's going to burn to the ground. But he made a way of escape. Come on, brother. Will you go with me and Mom and Dad? Get behind the line. And she said, brethren. So that means she had more than one. So she went down to all of her brothers. Boys, I know I've been a harlot. I know I've been wicked. And I hope you don't let my ungodly lifestyle send you to hell. Because there's been a change in me. Thanks to Calvary. Whoop. I'm not the sister I used to be. Lord God, I'm about to run right there. And I got a ticket. I got a ticket. I got proof of purchase and rite of passage. Somebody died on the tree. Boys, we ain't got to be left in the fire. Woo! Any of you brothers want to go? Come on and go with me and Mama and Daddy. Come on. Hey, we got to get out of here. Come on. Come on, brothers. Let's go. I got to find me some sisters. Renee, will you be my sister? Come on up here. Get out of the fire. Little bit, you be my sister. Come on, get out of the fire. You want to go to heaven or stay behind? You better come with us. Oh. You know, if Rahab, Brother Mike, if Rahab would have been alive tonight, I can hear her singing, come and go with me to my father's house, to my father's house, to my father's house. Oh, come and go with me to my father's house where there's joy, joy, joy. I believe she said, mom and daddy, brothers and sisters, the fire's about to fall. The judgment is about to come. But a living creature, I died on the tree, and I got proof of purchase. I got rite of passage. Come on, young'uns. We're going to leave out of here, and we're saved from the fire. I see them as they go in that house, and she ties that cord, and she says to her mama, and she says to her daddy, and says to her sisters, and says to her brothers, oh, there's a fine line. Let's get behind the fine line. Hey, damnation on this side, salvation on this side, darkness on this side, light on that side, headed for judgment on that side, headed for the promised land. I wonder, my God, is there anybody in this room tonight? You're glad the blood of Jesus Christ is in your heart and you're behind the scarlet line and you'll be saved from the mighty judgment of God. More, they're in that house and they hear the scuffling of soldiers' feet, and she says, everything's all right in my father's house. Boy, she hears the scuffling of soldiers' feet, but she said, everything's all right. I got proof of purchase. Boy, she hears the shouts as they marching around the wall. And she said, everything's all right. Be not dismayed, but ere be tied. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. How firm a foundation, young'uns. We're behind the line. And then that first blast, and the walls begin to tremble, and the foundations begin to shake. And you got to understand, that house is up on the wall, and they're falling on the right, and they're falling on the left. Foundations trembling. And she said, wait a minute, don't worry about a thing. We're behind the line. We're behind the line. It shall not come down this dwelling. That's our assurance. That's our token. And I believe the walls came tumbling down. Them wide walls were chariots abreast, cut right around the base. And them walls came tumbling down. But standing up there like a beacon in the night was Rahab the harlot's house. I mean, it's not going to fall. Everything's going to be all right. The signs are being fulfilled. Foundations being shaken. But they're behind the line. Somebody said, what about if that fella in Korea that's got that funny haircut pushes that button and zaps us all? Praise God, I'm behind the line. It's a quick trip to glory. It's a quick trip to heaven. And I'm glad I got proof of purchase and rite of passage. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And boy, the dust settles and the smoke clears. And I can hear old Worry Wart say, sis, who is that? That's our ticket out of here. And one of them spies said, I told you we'd keep my word. But see, you just ain't seen judgment yet. You've seen a little shaking. You've seen a little rumbling. But big judgment's on the way. The torches are lit. But I've made you a promise. You're going to get out before the fire falls. So they got the line and said, come on with me. We're getting out before the fire falls. And they hail back the fire. Woo! Somebody shout hallelujah right there. They held back the fire till every one of them got out. And when they got out, they turned and looked back and began to say, because a living creature died on the tree. Oh, I hate to see them two fellas. Y'all get out from up there. That thing's going to be on fire here. Get out, Lord God. It'll be all over the internet. The pastor and the assistant got left behind when Jesus come. I don't know about Tim, but I believe Brother David's going to make it. And man, they... Woo! Son, they look back and they light the torches and the fire rose through that place and it engulfs in flames. And I see Rahab going, brother, I'm glad we didn't die in the fire. Boys, I'm glad we didn't die in the fire. Hey, I'm glad we didn't die in the fire. I'm glad we didn't die in the fire. Praise God, I'm glad we didn't die in the fire. Mama, I'm glad we didn't die in the fire. Daddy, I'm glad we didn't die in the fire. Daddy, we didn't die in the fire. We didn't die in the fire. Daddy, we didn't die in the fire. Lord God, I want to tell you, when the lightning flashes and the thunder rolls, I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to be in the fire. I'm getting out of here, buddy, before the fire falls. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah, I'm going to get out for the fire fall. I forgot my outline. Condition, conviction, conversion. Oh yeah, number four, her celebration. Because guess where they go after the fire falls? They go to a wedding. You're invited to a wedding that'll be held soon. We are the bride. Christ is the groom. Woo! You say, what kind of wedding did they go to? Rahab. I'm going to be running up through that a minute. Rahab, on the outside of the fire, married one of them Jew boys. And they had a son. And his name, Boaz. Somebody said, what would make Boaz have mercy on a nobody like Ruth? Because somebody had mercy on a nobody like his mama. Woo! And here goes the line. And Boaz and Ruth, they have a little boy named Obed. And Obed meets a little girl and they get married and they have a boy named Jesse. And Jesse meets a little girl and they fall in love and they have a little boy, a bunch of little boys, and one of them's name, David. And here she goes, the line, over and over till one morning. Whoop! A little manger in Bethlehem. Unto us a child is born, the root of David, the offspring of David, the lion of the tribe of Judah, and Jesus is born. And it kept on weaving, and it kept on coming. Oh my. Till it got Brother Davy in, and it got Brother Tim in. And got Brother Joe in. No, we're just part of this great big old family. Hey, we're a part of the family of God, the bride of Christ, the church of the firstborn. And I believe these people behind me, they'd be the first to say they didn't deserve salvation. They didn't deserve Jesus Christ. They didn't deserve heaven. But because our living Savior died on a tree and shed his precious blood and got up again, I'm in the family. I'm in the royal lineage. I'm a part of the family of God. I'm a royal descendant. I'm saved from hell, on my way to glory, all of this and heaven too. And I'm trying to get everybody I know to go with me. I wonder if there's anybody in this room tonight, you're glad you've been brought in to the family of God by the scarlet thread of redemption. Woo! And we're going to a wedding. And a royal family. And until then, here's what we need to be doing.
That's right.
Come and go with me to my Father's house. To my Father's house. To my Father's house. Oh, come and go with me to my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Where you going? I'm going that way. Take somebody with you. Because when I see Jesus smile, hear him say, "Well done, my child." Woo! Here to be worth every mile of the trip. Let's stand together, Lord. We love you tonight. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege tonight to be brought into the royal family. Thank you, Lord, just save old sinners. Now help us, Lord, give the rest of our life getting a group of people ready to miss the fire and go to the wedding. We love you tonight in Jesus' name. We're standing all over this building with our heads bowed while they get an invitation number ready. Here's the message tonight. I wonder if you could lift your hands and say, "Brother Joe, I got my rite of passage. I got my proof of purchase. The blood's on me, and I'm going to miss the fire, and I'm going to a wedding." And I just want to wave my hands and say, "Hallelujah, you're on the way." Oh, Brother Joe, I'm headed to the wedding. But I got some family members, and I got some friends. A mom and a daddy, a brother, a sister, a son of the daughter. Pray I can persuade them to miss the fire and go with me to the wedding. While they sing tonight, why don't you just leave your seat where you're at, fill up this altar, and say, "Oh God, help me get mom and daddy, brothers and sisters, friends and families to miss the fire."